recorded. And with that, we will go ahead and cover a few housekeeping items, and then we'll move into a roll call. So as we all know, being on conference calls and Zoom for the majority of our professional lives, if you're not speaking, you could go ahead and put yourself on mute. That would be great, just to avoid any unnecessary background noise, reckless papers, etc. That would be super helpful. Thank you. And then, let's see, with that, we'll go ahead and move into our roll call. I'd like to start first with board staff. And then we'll move to committee members, applicants, and then any supervisor licensees, and then the applicants that you're representing. So, it looks like we have a couple members of the board staff with us this morning.
And Julie Merle.
And I'm Ashley Rios.
And I just want to note that Stacey James is no longer with the board, and Ashley will be your liaison, at least for the future that we can foresee.
Perfect. Well, welcome, Ashley. We look forward to working with you. Thank you for all your help.
You're welcome.
And then other board representatives, Jason Robinson, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. So with that, we'll go ahead and move to committee members. If you're a committee member on the line this morning, could you please state your name?
Mary Gennaro.
Steve Maida.
Michael Smith.
Kevin Chu. Excellent, thank you. And then if you are an applicant and you're on the line this morning, could you please state your name?
Hi, my name is Angela Sanford. I'm an applicant.
Good morning, Angela.
Hi, Brianna's here too.
Good morning, Brianna. Thank you. So we have both of our current applicants on the line this morning with us. And then anyone else that's on the line, if you could please note your name and then your supervisor licensee who you're here representing this morning. Okay, it looks like we may have captured everyone that's on the line. So our next order of business is a review and approval of the agenda. So we're going to have a current copy of the agenda in front of them. Okay. I have one addition to the agenda.
Sorry,
Megan,
I
did
not cut out.
And that's okay. No, it was just a couple of minutes before I completely understand. So we have one addition to the agenda that we'll add after item number 5, and it's just election of officers for the 2021 calendar year. So we'll go ahead and add that. Any other additions or deletions to the agenda from the committee? Good, everyone. All right, if there are no further amendments to the agenda for today's meeting, I go ahead and entertain a motion to approve as revised.
I'll make a motion to approve as revised.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Great. Any opposed? Excellent, thank you. All right, the next item of business number 3 this morning is a review of the QC summary from the prior meeting where we met on November 18th. And we don't need to approve this document because the meetings are recorded and are available via public forum. But any additions or deletions or modifications to be made to the meeting summary from anyone, now would be a good time to let Julie and Ashley know. Okay. Hearing no modifications, we're going to move through this agenda really quickly today, you guys. So the next item is item number 4 on the report of board action. And we have Jason with us this morning. Jason, would you mind giving us an update on some things that are happening at the board level and things that we can do as a committee to help support those efforts?
I don't know if there's anything that the board really had for the committee itself. All your recommendations were from the qualifications committee were ratified, so that's good. I'm wondering if there's ever been a time that they haven't ratified any of your recommendations. From the standpoint of, there's one thing to note. Hopefully we won't have 250 applicants at one time again, like we did a while back. It was interesting to see all those qualifications come forward at the same time and have the board sign off on those. So that was interesting. And it seemed to know that there's that many CPAs up there. So. I don't have anything else for the group. Julie, is there anything you wanted to add?
No, I think you did a great job, Jason.
Okay. Thanks,
Megan. Yes, thank you. Okay. So with that, we'll go ahead and move into pending applications. And so we'll take them in the order that they're listed on the agenda because we have both applicants on the line. So Brianna Smith, which Brian and Stephen, I believe, is your application that you reviewed on a joint basis together. So go ahead and take it away.
Stephen and I got the opportunity to work with Brianna with our application. She was extremely proactive and responsive and was wonderful to work with. I'll give a little highlight overview of the application, which I thought was very strong. I don't know if I can say that or not. Brianna has been working with Intel's corporate accounting department for a couple of years now. And as part of Intel's CPA program, she's been involved in various roles, which demonstrate her ability to meet the 7 competencies of certification. Her work for company CA has been with a couple different departments. One of note is the internal audit department and included SOX chemical testing. Okay. analyze and interpret some of the accounting data, which included creating pre-closing balance sheets and insight packages where she was reporting these to management and identify different drivers of her activities. She would also present this to different teams that included the AP teams and various departments. And then for final competency, competency, Brianna would present across teams of different ESOL departments and facilitate a process where they work together on different projects. I didn't know what the projects were, but that's kind of a highlight of her application. And like I said, I thought it was really strong. And it's nice that you still have the program that we discussed last meeting that makes sure that the competencies are met. So I'll open it up for discussion.
Great, thank you,
Wayne. Is Intel one of the companies that has the MOU with the board?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah,
his application is really strong, really detailed. I really can't find anything to pick a word. So, and given the fact that I came through that program, I don't think this is, should probably say
I tried my best to pick holes in it, and then Brianna informed how she actually addressed my issues in her application and didn't need to update.
Well, that's embarrassing.
So, Brianna, would you be able to walk us through, if you've got three different assigning supervisors on your application, based on sort of participation in Intel's program and rotation through various departments, so you may have some examples from perhaps an internship timeframe in the sort of summer of 2017, and then fast forward to in January of 2019 where you entered the program on a more permanent and full-time basis. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. Those projects that were mentioned in the competency key, a lot of those happened during my internship, and that's where you saw Dustin Switzer supervising, and then a lot of my work, or all of my work pretty much in the consolidations team, the internal audit, and the management reporting team, those happened after I started full-time in 2018, actually. Time frame, I started 2018, but most of the experience is from 2019 onwards, so.
It looked like you were moving to a bunch of different departments. Is that intentional on the part of Intel to give you that kind of exposure the way you would get if you were in a CPA firm?
It was intentional. I worked with my management because I had it known pretty early I wanted to get my CPA, so I just worked with my manager, Casey King, who was supervising most of my competencies, that I really wanted that wide experience so that I could get my CPA experience sooner rather than later and really have that broad understanding of the organization. So yes, I would say it was Intel as well as me pushing for it.
That was great. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on the application?
Hi, Brianna. This is Gabby. I agree with others that you have a really strong application. Just curious about how long is your SOX all these projects?
So I worked with them for about 3 months. The first couple months was me being introduced to the controls that I would be working through, and then, I guess the first month was that, and then the second 2 months was me actually testing the controls, performing the walkthroughs, working with the control owners to understand and documenting my findings. So it was a short-term project, but highly involved during that time.
Gotcha. So we worked on that project for 3 months. Were you full-time on that project? With just part time to allocate your time for that project?
It was still part-time because my main role at the time was still performing my close duties with the management reporting team, but when we're outside of a closed period, I would say I dedicated most of my time to the internal audit project, but I was technically sharing the role at the time.
Got it. Thank you.
Any other discussion on the application?
All right. Based on the application and our discussion, I move to prove that there is sufficient evidence that Brianna Smith has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Thank you, Brian. Do you have a second? Thank you. Motion on the floor to approve the application. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you. Okay, so the next application on the list is for Angela Stanford, which was for Nathan Lee, and here for the sorry, mispronounced that. Nick's unable to be at the meeting today. Is Deirdre here?
He actually stepped in for Nick on this one. He had a conflict and had to change viewers at the last minute.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ellen. Would you mind presenting the application again?
Yeah, absolutely. So Angela originally graduated from Lane Community College with an associate's in accounting and had experience as a bookkeeper as well as an accountant at three separate employers prior to pursuing her CPA. She later went on to graduate magna cum laude from Oregon State University Cascade Campus Accountancy Program prior to sitting for the exams. While she was sitting for the exams, Angela worked as the accounting and operations manager for Central Oregon Independent Practice Association, or COIPA. COIPA is a non-for-profit, membership-based organization that supports independent healthcare providers in both Oregon and Washington. Angela gained much of her experience for qualifying as a CPA while at COIPA, and her supervisor there is part of her application as well. But she's currently employed as an independent contractor providing financial statement preparation and review for volunteers in medicine at the Cascade. In general, I really appreciated all the practical application that Angela brought to her narrative. In competency A, Angela evidenced her objectivity and independence through her examples of presenting financial statements to the board of directors. She was responsible for answering their questions fairly and without any undue influence from either the CEO or the other directors of LabCorpa. I believe she provided good examples of integrity, where she identified control gaps, equipped with AP cycles and cash receipts procedures. She was then able to establish a more robust process. She also has some clear examples where she used due professional care and due diligence to find better investment vehicles, ones that earned a better interest rate. So she researched various investment vehicles, was able to determine the level of risk tolerance for COIPA, and then partnered with the CEO and compared the profiles to maintain a better investment. In competency D, Angela demonstrated her understanding of COIPA's objectives and goals and examples where she developed consulting rates. So COIPA's goal for sustainable service as a not-for-profit is to offer services that cover the direct costs. This improves their product offering and their value to customers, which is in keeping with COIPA's larger initiative to improve overall customer service. I also thought she had a good example of understanding external environments that impacted COIPA through her discussion of implementing a new Department of Revenue task requirements. She worked directly with the DOR to determine what part, if any, of COIPA's revenue was actually subject to the corporate activity tax, and that resulted in the need for a monthly estimate to support those corporate tax deductions. Another good example, and competency B, is she walked through her analysis of the impacts of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Acts that resulted in a modification of transactional data to conform with the new regulations, I thought that demonstrated an understanding of how our town environment is really affecting business. In Covenant TC, Angela had a good example of documenting an analysis of financial accountancy issues that affected QIPA. As a pass-through entity, they received funds from care plans to sell contracts and then distribute to members on an annual basis. These funds were originally recorded on the balance sheet, but after a review of the accounting process and being through the appropriate accounting literature, Angela was able to determine that this was not appropriate and to record the receipts and their associated disbursements. So going forward, the process has changed and to record the receipts and disbursements on the income statement. In competency D, Angela demonstrated that she had a good understanding of how revenue and expenses were recorded in QIPA's general ledger. I really appreciated that she was able to demonstrate her knowledge of the system as well, the limitations that it had with recording, and then the internal controls that needed to be established to cover these gaps and mitigate the risk of material misstatement in the financials. In competency E, I liked Angela's example of demonstrating the ability to obtain sufficient competency data to assets. She was looking for assistance of currency each asset, as well as the valuation analysis. And she outlined the tests that she used and the conclusions that she was able to draw on her analysis. In Covenant CF, I was very impressed. She had a really strong example where she identified data trends. I like how she researched this behind QIPA's lean towards insolvency by analyzing revenue. So looking at services provided, the volatility of membership dues, admin fees, etc. Then she also identified potential future revenue streams in consulting. She used industry research to develop an expectation for reasonable service for admin fees and developed a proposal to incrementally increase these and proposed it to her board of directors to make sure that QIPA continues to be in a strong position going forward. And lastly, in Covenant CG, I thought Angela had good, clear written or presentation examples where she was presenting financial data, either for investment opportunities to the board, the financial reports to the board, was able to include various investment scenarios so the board could decide at which level of investment would be best point for QIPA. Overall, I think Angela had very strong technical examples, and again, I just loved how she was able to really wrap it all up, that practical experience that she's gained in her roles. So at this point, Karen, I'd like to open up to the board for additional comments.
Great, thank you, Alan, for a very, very thorough overview. That was very helpful.
All right, I have a question about the initial narrative. One thing that kind of popped out of my mind is if you look at the last paragraph, this is right before CA. It says, I became an independent contractor providing financial statement preparation and review services. And an independent and unlicensed person cannot provide financial statement review services. So I don't know, we use the term review more colloquially, or that's very specific meaning when we talk about a CPA license. We were saying that I was having financial statement reviews. Can we get some clarification on that? I think at a minimum that needs to be rewarded or at least come out of this application. I don't think we can forward an application where somebody says they were doing financial statement review pre-licensure. So.
I'm assuming you're posing that question to me as the applicant. And I was using that more as not providing a service per se as an unlicensed person, but just reviewing the financial statements to make sure that they were reasonable and without error as much as possible, as accurate as possible. So, Angela, would it be fair to say that you conducted more of an analytical review or performed an analysis of the financial statements? Because, Erica, a really good point is that her review is a sort of proper term for, somebody in a licensed position and issuing an independent accountant's report and that type of thing. Yes, I was saying that it was more analytical in nature as opposed to a service that would be performed by an independent CPA.
applicant edits consulting or something, or even, I mean, even just preparation period, I think we need to remove that. I was doing a financial statement review, but that's, I don't think that can be here as it goes forward.
All right. Angela, I have a question for you, just very quickly. One of the items that reviewed your employment record and compared it to your dates of qualified supervision and your narrative is that in some places it's noted that you started work with volunteers in medicine at the cafe in June of 2019, but then your qualified experience begins in May of 2019. So, just curious on the kind of discrepancy there and how the qualified supervision could have started before your employment started.
So I was in training from May through June with the exiting financial analyst, Ann Rose. She was the one who actually put my name forward to volunteers in medicine that I could assume the role that she was performing to them. And so my actual appointment with them didn't start until June or July. And then so I was essentially just learning their processes and what they were looking for with Anne in the 2 month period prior to.
Thank you. And then I may be a bit confused based on the supervisor evaluation form, but the employment record of reference for volunteers in medicine of the Cascade Rose, but the supervisor was Jennifer Wielder. I think Ann Rose was the COISA supervisor. Just to make sure I have good understanding, did Ann Rose supervisor supervise you, excuse me, at those locations, or?
So Ann Rose supervised me at COISA. And she was just performing training services with volunteers in medicine. And I truly reported to Jen Wielander at Volunteers in Medicine.
Okay. So then, and then I guess the supervisor evaluation form that was signed off by Jen Wielander also references the start period of May 2019. So I think that the employment record and the level of supervision, you may want to have that consistent. Okay. Other comments or questions on Angela's application from the committee?
I think that question of competency C. You describe a lot of the duties that are, that go on in the budget area. What exactly do you do in the budget area?
So in budget preparation, I do an analysis of what the trends have been historically and what we anticipate the current year to, or the upcoming year to, see with the results of, you know, what changes we might be making. And so what I do is I basically prepare the budget after analyzing the historical and potential data that I have available. And then I prepare that and present it to the CEO for his review as well. And then I present that to the board and answer any questions that they may have. But I do a full overview of both the revenues that we anticipate getting based on the number of member lives that we have, with member lives in the healthcare environment equate to patients.
and these lives are counted under the different contracts that we have. So we receive the revenue under these contracts based on the number of lives that are encapsulated in them. And so I am accounting for any changes in administrative fees, as well as trying to estimate the number of lives as the year progresses, and comparing those anticipated revenues with the anticipated expenses.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Angela. Can you please help me to understand a little bit more about the Central Oregon AKA's organization chart? I'm looking at the chart, and it seems like you are the accounting manager. So I guess my question is, how big is your accounting team? Do you have any other accounting staff working on the issue?
So at the time that I was receiving my instructions for working with Ann, there were essentially the two of us for accounting purposes, and she filled the role of the director of risk management, which was slightly above where my role is as the accounting and operations manager. And she has since retired from Central Oregon IPA, and now we have brought in a second person to work in the accounting or finance group with me as well. So it's a very small organization with a very small accounting team.
So I think the one example you provided in the application is you implemented some segregation of duties project. So I'm just wondering, if it's such a small team, how do you achieve segregation of duties in accounting?
We achieve segregation of duties by trying to develop clear lines between tasks that are being performed. So I was able to incorporate the receptionist, who is the frontline person receiving the mail, into she would log the checks for the revenue cycle. She would log the checks that were received on a daily basis as they came in. She would endorse the checks, and then as they came to me, once she had performed her process with the mail, we created a mail log so she can put all the checks on them. I would double check to make sure I received all of the checks that were on the mail log for that day, and then I would create the deposit, and we would have both an electronic and a physical record of deposits, so that if someone wanted to review a deposit, then they would have that documentation available to them. And then the other thing, the other piece of that is, because we are a small organization, I was also performing the bank reconciliation, but I also provided those to the CEO for his final review after my reconciliation in the accounting application that we used. And he was able to, if he had any questions, he was able to come access the documentation to support the questions that he had, and you know, be able to review it himself and be able to come to the same conclusion that I had, or that my transaction process may occur in the documentation.
Thank you for walking me through the cash receipt part of segregation duties. Just wondering, can you give a little example in how you achieve the segregation of duties in the cash disbursement cycle with AP cycle?
Sure. So for the AP cycle, prior to my tenure with COIPA, invoices were being processed without the CEO's authorization, and so one of the things that I've implemented was, first of all, having, again, utilizing the receptionist as the frontline person receiving mail, having her submit invoices as they came in to the CEO for his approval, and then they would come to me for input into the accounting application. I would then, paying the invoices within terms, I would print checks for those invoices as they came due, present them to the CEO for his review. One other thing that didn't always happen is the check copy was not matched to the invoice at time of signing. So I changed that process as well to make sure that he had all of the appropriate documentation for the check as he was signing them. And then if he had any questions that resulted from them, he would be able to have everything together and ask the questions as they came up. Then the other thing that I had to implement was the approval of the credit card statements as they came in. Invoice copies or charge receipts were not always attached to the credit card statements, and so that is one thing that I implemented, making sure that we received credit card charge receipts from whoever might be using the credit card, so we could appropriately allocate the expenses into the correct account. And then that entire package was presented to the CEO also for approval prior to paying the credit card.
That's a good example of the improvement. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions for the applicant or for Eleanor on the application?
I did have one question on competency F about sort of that piece of concluding on technical research. I know you pointed out an example, I think, with PPP loan accounting. It made it sound like that was still in process, and I was just curious if you could shed some light on it, if you've been able to conclude on that, or if you have another example where, you know, you've done technical research and have kind of come to a conclusion on that research that was done.
I'm sorry, are you talking the Paycheck Protection Program?
Yeah, I think you have an example about how to account for those funds.
Yes, and so the way that we account for those funds is due to the extension of the period that the funds could be used for, we were able to use those funds solely for payroll-related expenses, including employee benefits, and so we were able to essentially guarantee that the bulk of our funds will be forgiven. Although I will say that because of the continued changes regarding the PPP program, it is still difficult to try to determine exactly how things are going to be accounted for, but now knowing that the legislation has determined that the expenses used for the PPP loan are deductible, as well as being able to be used for the PPP funds that came in, it makes reconciling those funds and the taxable impact much easier to account for. But again, just because there is continued changes related to this Paycheck Protection Program, the ongoing changes do make things more difficult as time goes on.
Thank you.
help address the your question of the
applicant? Yeah, I just wanted to see some kind of commentary around that process a little more, so that was helpful.
Any other discussion on the application?
So just to confirm at this point in time, would we is the recommendation that we defer until next meeting to address the language in the introduction and get consistency between the employment record?
Me personally, I cannot vote to approve or forward until that change is made. I think that can't be in there. It's got to be edited for the updated report tomorrow.
Well, at this point, then I move to defer the applicant the application of, oh gosh, Angela, I'm so sorry, I'm going to botch your last name here. Sanford, heavens. I move to defer the application of Angela Sanford pending additional documentation in the introduction paragraph.
I'll second that.
All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion passes. Thank you.
Megan, can I ask while we're still here, do we also want clarification on days of employment?
That would be great. I think the two men should have those aligned right now. It does look a little interesting that the supervision started prior to employment starting. I could see a case in which that would happen and could be viable. So whether we revise those dates or add an explanatory paragraph on why there's a discrepancy in dates.
What an explanation from the supervisor licensing, just kind of lining out how all that transition happened, would that be sufficient?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that good for you, Angela? You understand what we need to?
Yes.
Thank you.
Work with you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Well, we're definitely moving pretty quickly through the agenda. We have one revised item to add, which is just election of officers for the 2021 calendar year. And so, Julie, I would actually hand this to you to go through a quick introduction for the team on what that looks like and provisions, et cetera.
Okay. So, every January, even though it wasn't on the agenda, we've had a little transition in our office. So, please pardon us. We not only are transitioning between people, because now you've met Ashley, but we've also been trying to have IT changes, can we say? So while we're Zooming with you, we're also learning Teams. We have a whole new conference room set up that we were struggling with this morning. So just apologize. We should do better, and we will do better, but it's a big struggle for a non-techy person like myself. So we should
say I'm doing great. You guys are doing great.
We should have had election of officers on here, and the reason I say that, I feel bad about that, so that you could all be thinking about it. So it wasn't on your radar. I know we have a couple people absent today, so it wasn't on their radar as well. We couldn't reach out in time to say, you know, if you were nominated, are you willing? Those are the kinds of conversations we prefer to have. So that's, here we are. So we do need to elect a chair for this year and a vice chair. I want to note that Megan's term ends on October 31st of this year. So she will no longer be eligible to be on the qualifications committee. If you choose to elect her as your chair this year, she's done a great job and she can continue on through that date. It would be really important that whoever assumes the role as vice chair for this year is aware that they have through October 31st to absorb everything they need to know to then move into the chair role for the November 2021 meeting. That's
that's all I have to say about that. You guys get to make your nominations, and I haven't heard back. I did try to reach out to Norm this morning. I know he wasn't available. He's your current vice chair. But I haven't heard back from him. So it just may be that, you know, he may be willing to serve, but we have no way to ask him. So with that, have fun.
Thank you.
And Dave, there's many times the chairwoman, so that's fine. I nominate Dave Bird, community chair for 2021.
Any other comments or not? Did you have a second on that?
Second.
I think Brian.
Oh, sorry, Brian. I was trying to find my unmute.
Anyone else interested or wanna raise their hand for the hat in the ring? It's you guys are a great bunch of professionals to work with, and I really enjoyed being in this spot. All right, so the motion on the floor is for May 1st, I hope to stay in the chair role and fund ineligible through October 31st of 2021. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and then all abstain from the vote. Okay, so then moving on to nomination of a vice chair. Is there anyone here on the call today that would be interested in participating as a vice chair? Currently, it is Norm Rush, as Julie mentioned earlier. Does anyone else have an interest or another person that can nominate?
What happens if we nominate or have Norm the vice chair that he doesn't want to be in?
I suppose we would go through this again to nominate somebody else.
Julie, is that something where we could potentially defer the vice chair election until our next meeting for assuming that Norm would be here, or would we like to take care of
it all? We can do whatever you want, yeah. As long as you promise to be here next meeting, we can.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Does
anybody know him and have a sense of whether he would be willing to do it or not?
I feel Brian's asking him questions, so that's kind of a volunteer.
I'm going to mute myself.
you made a mistake of talking, so how about you talk about it? How about it?
I'll mute it if Norm doesn't want to do it. How about that?
Would you be more comfortable than just putting it to the next meeting and talking with Norm, and then we know we have your acceptance if he chooses not to? Is that fair?
As long as it's fine with everybody else.
That works for me. I
move we defer the decision on vice chairs to the next meeting.
A second.
Perfect.
Those
in favor?
Aye.
All right. Well, that is our last order of business for today's meeting. Any other comments or questions from the team before we sign off for today?
Do we have a sense of how many applications are coming in for the 7-4 meeting?
I wish I could tell you that. Actually, do you have any idea? She probably does not.
I currently only have one QC application.
Actually, I'm sorry, I muted you because there was a lot of background noise in the office.
Oh, I currently only have one QC application in the works.
What we generally see is when the deadline hits, and that's what I was trying to find, I just don't have it hanging up. If the deadline was next Tuesday for submissions, we would have, most of what we'll receive come in the few days before. So it's really hard unless you just had some communication with somebody asking a lot of questions and telling you they're, anticipating. But I don't have an approximation system.
And our goal in deferred is only deferred on the pipeline, correct?
Correct.
And then we have a firm date for next meeting?
Yes, April 28th.
I
will look up here. I have too many windows open. You can see my desktop. I will find really quick the deadlines. Actually, I can find it online, and that'll tell you. That'll give you a good idea how far out we are. Sorry. Deadline for submission is March 3rd, so there's still a lot of time. If you would like, I am happy to either Ashley or I could reach out maybe 3 weeks before the meeting or 3 weeks before we start sending things out for viewers just to kind of give you a heads up how many we anticipate having at that point. But for right now, with that deadline being March 3rd,
I was just kind of curious, I don't think that's necessary.
It's a valid question. I totally understand it. Again, that's the middle of tax season, so I don't know how much that affects any of you right now. Maybe I'm working in a firm, but I'm not sure if the rest of you are affected by tax season. The next round of applications will come out March 10th. So that's reviewed by committee people from March 10th through the 24th. And then through April 7th is when we'd be working with applicants doing their revisions. Is there anybody who would really like a pass on any review assignments for this go around because of tax season?
If I was able to push mine out, that would be much appreciated. Just this upcoming meeting, but then obviously available for the rest of the year.
Absolutely, you're totally understandable. What about you, Stephen? Are you okay during tax season?
I'm going to be pushed to the July 15th this year.
Well, I don't have that crystal ball.
Wishful thinking.
Right, well, we'll kind of play it by ear. If it looks like things are getting pushed out, then, we'll adjust. And Megan, are you good?
Yes.
Okay. So, Michael, we'll make sure that we don't give you anything this time.
Thank you. And then do we have an updated 2021 calendar? I was going back through all my emails, and I couldn't find if that was embedded in a PDF at one point.
Why don't I'll send out an email as soon as this meeting concludes with the new application submission timeline and the adopted calendar from the board. Are there any other documents anybody would like? I'm happy to send them all out at once.
I would love to have another copy of the statement that we made when we nominate somebody.
Okay.
I can't find where I saved it.
You're good. I'll send that out as well.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Just a couple of concluding remarks. Thank you to Julie and Ashley and the staff for providing the updated supervisor application form. I think it was really nice
particularly in, I think we had it in one of the applications, you know, seems that supervisor owns spots to put down some spots to share independently with other committee outside of it, kind of funneling directly to the candidate. So that was helpful, a good add to the process. I found that to be valuable. So I'm sure others on the team do as well. And then, I guess beyond that, Jason, Julie, Ashley, thank you very much for your help and for making this all come together and all happen. So, thanks everybody too for volunteering your time and taking time out of your busy schedules to help review these applications and put them through such a rigorous process. And we're doing important work, and it shows that everybody really cares about the process. Thank you for that.
Are you going to a new community when you're service from October? Or?
I don't know. I'd love to. Love to stay involved and very active with the board. So. Cool. All right, guys. Well, it's 10:01, and we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Good luck over the next 2 months, and we'll see you in April.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Take care. Bye.